Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Okay, welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Ronnie Gray. Ronnie is a professional basketball player from Boston. He graduated school with a sports management degree and has been filming a very inspiring documentary called Underrated, and we'll get into that in a minute. But first, Ronnie, we're just glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what your story is.
All right. Good morning. Well, pretty much I'm from Boston, Mass. I always had dreams of inspiring others and, you know, try to be a leader as far as, you know, the position that I'm in from, you know, the neighborhoods that I grew up in. I grew up in very tough neighborhoods where, you know, pretty much a lot of people kind of count you out and, you know, doubt you, say that, you know, you ain't going to make it. You can't do this. You can't do that. And, you know, I just want to be one of those type of people that can, you know, make it, you know, be successful and go back and try to fix that, break that cycle and try to inspire, you know, kids and my peers and others that, you know, you can make it. You can dream, you know, you can be all you can be, you know, if you just, you know, keep believing in yourself, keep believing in God and just keep working as hard as you can. And, you know, just try to stay, you know, on top of everything that you have a vision for. So, you know, that's how everything been, you know, growing up. And that was the reason why, you know, I made the documentary Underrated. So.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. Before we get into the documentary, tell me, you know, a lot of kids growing up, they have the dreams of going on to play. First, it's to play college basketball and then to play professionally. What was it like for you? You know, take us back in time to like high school. What were your plans and what were you doing to work towards those plans?
Well, my journey as a basketball player, as an athlete in general was very, very unique. I always had the talent. I always had the, you know, potential. It's just, you know, I was just never in the best position. So what I mean by that is, you know, during high school, you know, my senior year, I didn't play my senior year in high school. I was cut my senior year while I was getting recruited. Yeah, so it was kind of surprising thing to, you know, to deal with. It was one of the, by far at that time, one of the hardest things, you know, I had to deal with on top of, you know, losing one of my closest friends, you know, to, you know, stuff that happened, you know, back at home. And it was tough. It was extremely tough. And, you know, I try to put that behind me as far as the high school situation. And once I got to college thinking that things will be a lot better, it was kind of like the same thing. I bounced around from school to school. And, you know, I had a lot of coaches, you know, showing me, you know, pretty much promising me and, you know, selling the dream to me that, you know, I can go and play for their institution. And, you know, once I went there, it became kind of like, you know, like dominoes, you know, it came the same thing. It's like deja vu. I didn't get an opportunity to necessarily play throughout my college career as well. So, you know, it was a struggle and, you know, but I kept my beliefs. I kept fighting. And now I put myself in great position now where, you know, now I'm a professional. So I was able to rose through that, you know, through that.
Yeah.
Those type of challenges and relations.
So that is a unique story. One of my least favorite basketball stories of all time is when people talk about Michael Jordan and how he was cut as a sophomore, which to me, he wasn't cut as a sophomore. He went through the same growing pains anyone does. Everyone gets caught as a freshman or as a sophomore as we're getting better. Now, your experience was a little different, though, in that you got playing time up until that senior year. What was that like? I mean, that must have been devastating for you to go from playing to not having the same opportunities. How did you deal with that?
It was tough. It was extremely, extremely tough. I would say that summer of going into my senior year was by far probably my best summer as far as basketball, just because I was able to get the right exposure and I was able to play at some very elite and, you know, high caliber type of camps where, you know, I was being seen by tons of coaches and I was able to hold my own against some guys that, you know, are now currently playing in the NBA and, you know, making really good money. And, you know, for me, you know, that gave me all the confidence in the world going into my senior year. So once I got to that, you know, that opportunity, you know, I seized it and, you know, I try to put myself in the best position to try to win over, you know, at least a college coach. You know, I went there and said, if I can get at least one coach, you know, I'll be happy. But luckily, you know, I was blessed to have a handful of colleges that contact me, you know, during my senior year. So, you know, I thought that, you know, that was going to be a very, very big opportunity for me because, you know, now I'm finally getting recruited. You know, I'm finally, you know, getting everything that I work for to be in this position. So I said, I can't lose this. I can't lose this. I do not want to lose this opportunity. So I work my tail off. I mean, every single day. And I worked and I worked and I worked. And I thought things were looking up. And then, you know, once we got to the opportunity where, you know, we had to try out and, you know, I was definitely, you know, one of the best players there. And it was just one of those things that, you know, you really can't question. Once I got cut, I was devastated. I didn't want to play basketball. I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't want to do anything. I just, you know, I was just out of it, you know, to be honest. And everything just, it just didn't seem right. Everything didn't feel right. Just because I feel like someone took that opportunity away from me. Someone took my love away from me. And, you know, it was hard to deal with, especially being a 17, 18 year old kid, you know. And, you know, I was trying to do things out of my element that wasn't me. And, you know, that's something that I had to fight myself with. And for some reason, you know, I just kept praying, kept believing, and I kept working, you know, especially with the support system that I had, the support cast that I had around me, you know, my family, my friends, you know, they kept supporting me to keep going, kept pushing me to keep going. And that helped me that much more. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do it for someone, I'm going to do it for them, but I also got to do it for myself. So that's how I kind of took it. I kind of took it on as a challenge. And I said, well, you know, I didn't make it, you know, I didn't make the opportunity here, but once I get into a college, then I would definitely, you know, figure out a way. So that was kind of like my motivation, you know, from that short period of time. So
sure. Now, while your story is definitely unique, I think a lot of people can relate to having certain expectations and then having something change or an opportunity taken away. And so I think a lot of people can relate to your story, even if we haven't had that exact situation. The challenge then is, how do you move forward from that? How do you go from, because obviously you graduated from high school, you went to college, you got a degree, and now you're living your dream playing professional basketball. What was it that got you through kind of that dark period after you were cut as a senior that really helped you to continue to move forward despite all the obstacles in front of you?
Just my faith and belief. The more dark it got over the time, the more I slowly started to believe in God and believe in myself. And, you know, every day I had to look in the mirror and I had to ask myself, you know, how bad you want it? You know, how bad you want it? How bad you want to be successful? How bad you want to be the person that you want to become? You know, how bad you want your degree? How bad you want to help your family? How bad you want to help your community? You know, how bad you want to make these people proud around you? How bad you want to make, you know, yourself proud? So, you know, once once I was able to be comfortable and looking in the mirror and saying, you know, it's up to me, regardless of how many no's that I go through and, you know, how many obstacles and, you know, turns that I have to go through, long as I still, you know, enjoy the process, enjoy the journey, you know, I feel like that's definitely, you know, the greatest asset of, you know, this whole process. So, you know, that's how I was able to kind of, you know, kind of keep fighting through it. Just keep fighting. Sit.
So let's move forward a little bit. You got into college, as you mentioned, you bounced around a little bit, but I'm sure the dream was still alive to play professionally. Right. A lot of people don't understand, you know, there's the NBA and the glamour that comes with the NBA and the big money. There's a lot of other professional basketball. A lot of people go overseas. A lot of people stay here, and there's several leagues here in the United States. Can you talk a little bit about just transitioning from college to professional and kind of the highs and the lows of that?
Okay, so pretty much as far as the professional, everyone knows the NBA. That's the, you know, the luxury, if you want to call it, the luxury life, the luxury league, as far as the basketball industry. Then you have lower leagues. You know, you have the G League, which is under the NBA, which is kind of, you know, if you want to stay in the States and you want to have a shot in the NBA, you go there. Then you drop that down. And then you have like little minor leagues and little semi-pro leagues where, you know, you're making a little bit of money to none, but, you know, you're there just to get the exposure, to try to get an opportunity to level up, to either go overseas and make really good money or, you know, possibly grab an opportunity to play in the G League or, you know, or the NBA. So, you know, fortunately, I was blessed with the opportunity to play in the ABA to begin my career. And it was definitely tough. It's definitely a grind just because, you know, just the scheduling, just how things were set up, just how things were being played. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it also helped me, you know, understand the process and understand that, you know, I have to be here in order to get to where I need to go and get where I want my vision to be. So, you know, I just keep pushing, keep grinding on that standpoint. But the ABA is, I would say probably the third or fourth tier league out here in the States, in the United States, is about over 100 teams across the country. You have about four regions, I'll say. It's about 20 to 25 teams in each region. And you're, you know, you pretty much have the option on, you know, the teams that you want to play within your region. After you finish that, after you play the full season, you know, if you played well, you had a really good season, you get an opportunity to play in the playoffs based off, you know, your record, based off of, you know, how well you did in your region. And then, you know, you'll have an opportunity to play in the national championship. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like March Madness from that standpoint. Like once you get there, it's, you know, one and done. And, you know, it's up to you. To that point, you also get a lot of exposure from there too, because, you know, now, you know, you have teams from overseas and you got teams from the G League and possibly the NBA, you know, if you're doing really well, that might be looking at you, you know, if you're playing well and your team is winning games. So, you know, it's always, it shows, how can I put it? It's a real grind. It's a real, real grind. But, you know, like I said, it's part of the journey and it's part of something that keep you humble and it keeps you hungry. You know, if you want it bad enough, you'll be willing to, you know, sacrifice these things and, you know, try your best to level up and be successful.
Right. So it is a grind and I know that it's difficult. You have to be doing it for the love of the game because the numbers are stacked against you. If you're in the ABA or even in the G League, the chances of getting called up to the NBA are very, very slim. And so you know, a lot of it's the love of the game, and that's why you're still in it and you're still hustling and doing what you can. For those kids that are younger, that are thinking, you know, I want to be a basketball star when I grow up, would you say it's worth it? I mean, you've been kind of in this area for a few years now and still have the dream alive. What kind of advice would you give to a kid out there that is looking about playing professionally?
Dream as big as you can. Dream as big as you can. Don't let people tell you otherwise, pretty much. You know, the sky is the limit for you. So you got to just keep pushing. You know, if you want to be in the NBA, you got to work like you want to be in the NBA, because there are millions of other kids that have the same dreams. And the thing about that is, it's kind of unique in a way where, you know, everybody starts off with the same dreams as kids. Then you get a little older. Now people start finding other things and interests. Now starting to slimmer down. Then, you know, you level up a little bit more. You know, now you're in high school, and now you're in, all right, now you're playing for your high school. Now you have probably, you know, 400,000, 500,000, you know, kids that are playing, you know, across the country. And then, you know, you level up to college. Now you have the opportunity where now you're closer than anything. And now that chance slims down a lot more, because a lot of people are not going to make it, or they just lose their interest after college. And then once you get to the pros, you know, it's a crazy process, but you know, it's definitely worth it. If, you know, like I said, if you want it bad enough, and if this has been your dream since you've been a kid, and since you've been doing this all your life, you know, why not, you know, get reward from it? You know, why not be all you can be with it? Why not use it as a tool to, you know, try to inspire others and try to provide for your family and just be happy and have a peace of mind, you know, because there's a lot of people that are miserable out here in the world where they're not living their dreams. They're not doing the things that they love to do. And they just, you know, they just stop dreaming and they stop, you know, and they stop believing. And that's, you know, that was my reason why I did my documentary, to, you know, to kind of express my feelings, you know, express my story and, you know, get my story out there. You know, I mean, look at my position. I shouldn't be in this position if you hear my story. But, you know, with my faith in God and my beliefs in myself and having the right support cast around me, that helped me work that much harder. You know, now, you know, I played in the ABA for a little bit, and you know, I was able to get, you know, some type of experience to play out in Dominican Republic. And now, you know, now I'm working on trying to get another opportunity somewhere in Latin America, or, you know, possibly in Europe, you know, after all of this is, you know, over. So, you know, it's totally worth it if you want it bad enough, I would say.
Well, let's talk about the documentary for a minute. Okay. First, tell us a little bit about what it is. Just give us an overview. But then I'm interested in how did it start for you, and who did you work with? Did you do it all yourself, or was there a team put together? So give us some of those details.
Okay. It started off with me and one of my closest friends. Always working out. This is when we was back in college, you know, we were both working out, both have same dreams. And, you know, we were always thinking, you know, wow, you know, we should just film our workouts. You know, we should just film, you know, stuff that we're doing. You know, we just think that it would have been pretty cool. But then, you know, once I start to kind of sit down and like actually like review my whole life, just think about all the things I've been through to that moment, you know, I said, why not, we can make a documentary or anything, or videos where, you know, we're motivating people and, you know, we're getting our story out there, you know. And I feel like that was kind of like, you know, a light bulb just hit in both of us, and we was just like, wow, you know, we can make this happen. And, you know, we always feel like we're the underdogs because we've been the underdogs all our lives. So that's where, you know, underrated came across my mind. And, you know, and then my friend said, you know, he really liked it. And we just started filming stuff. And we was just like, well, you know, if we're going to do something like this, we want to make sure that, you know, we can target, you know, people that play basketball and people that don't play basketball. That way, you know, we bring a whole bunch of people together, you know, that, you know, anyone that has dreams and anyone that gave up on their dreams to not give up on your dreams just because we didn't, you know, we're still working, you know, we're still giving all we got. We're still doing, you know, all these things out of our element. And, you know, we just want to make our lives, you know, pretty much as peaceful and as great as it can be, and also, you know, help our family members out and take care of our city and our community. So, you know, that was kind of the start of how it went. Cool. And then after that, you know, we just start coming up with content and started figuring out, you know, how can we make this inspiring to others?
Right. So with the documentary or any film project, you've got two sides to it. One is the story, and you already knew the story. You knew that you wanted to talk about your story and help people to chase their dreams. The second side of that, though, is the video production side, where you have to take all that footage and put it together and edit it and add your music track and things like that. And your documentary is really well done. How much involvement did you have on that side of things with the video production? And do you have any tips for people who want to share their story, if they wanted to put something up on YouTube, any general advice on how you can go about that?
Well, I mean, it starts with a team, starts with a group of people where, you know, you feel comfortable discussing these things with, working with. Unfortunately, you know, I was blessed to have, you know, my friend Trey and, you know, Marvin and Louise, which is my agent. Us four, we pretty much came together and, you know, we talked, mostly me and Trey, that's the guy behind the camera. As if you watch the third episode, he's like talking and, you know, he's kind of introducing himself. So, you know, my goal was simple, is, you know, I want it to be about me, but at the same time, it's not just about me because I'm not just doing this documentary. You know, I got these guys that's doing it as well. So, you know, I want to make sure that if people know me, people know the people around me and they know them, because, you know, they have things that they're working on, they have content and stuff like that, where, you know, their story is just as much inspired as mine. So, you know, as far as like the editing and stuff like that, it was tough at first, very tough, but, you know, you just, once you get to it, and the more you do it, the more you just kind of just play around with things, you get creative over the time. And that's what we all end up doing. We started playing with different apps on our phones and on our, you know, laptops, where, you know, we finding like video editings and, you know, we're, you know, pretty much putting all of our clips and all of our content together and try to see what we can do with it. And then, you know, before you know it, you know, you just have creativity just popping out of, you know, all over the place. And it gets to the point where it's overwhelming at times. And, you know, whenever you be able to figure out, finally have like your creativity, once you able to find the right content and you put everything together and you watch it, you're just like, wow, like I put this together. We put this together. It's amazing, you know. So pretty much, you know, if you want to do that, if you want to put, you know, your videos and stuff on YouTube, start off little, I would say. You know, start posting things on social media. Start drawing that type of attention from people, you know, people that's on your social media sites. and just go from there, and then just keep marketing. Just keep marketing yourself, keep marketing, you know, any videos or anything that you're pursuing, anything that you're doing. And, you know, before you know it, you're going to have a small group at first that's going to, you know, start supporting that. And, you know, once you finally get that support outside of your supporting cast, you know, it helps because, you know, it gives you more confidence. It gives you a little bit hope that, well, hey, maybe this might work. So, you know, you keep going, keep doing it. And, you know, before you know it, you know, who knows where this can go? You know, this might can blossom for you. And, you know, you went from having 10 supporters to 100,000 supporters, or maybe a million supporters. So, you know, you don't know until, you know, you just got to keep going, keep marketing, keep networking, and just keep posting, keep showing your face, keep showing you the things that you're pursuing, and everything should be good.
Right. I see a theme here, Ronnie, that just like in your basketball career, as you're doing these things and getting your message out, it's about persistence and consistency and continuing to work. Which is hard right now. So your life was already crazy trying to make it as a professional basketball player, but now add on to that coronavirus, add on to that what we're going through right now with Black Lives Matter. It's a crazy world that we're in. What advice can you give to kids on just how to continue moving forward despite the crazy world that we're in right now?
Well, my say is be a leader, not a follower. We in a position right now where a lot of people are going on social media and, you know, oh, my friend's saying something racist, so, you know, I'm going to say something racist. Or my friend's posting up this and I'm going to post up this. At the end of the day, be you. Be you. You know what's right. You know what's wrong to this point. You should, you know, especially, you know, if you're a high school kid or, you know, if you're older. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. Unfortunately, you know, we're in a tough situation right now where, you know, things aren't equal. Things aren't, you know, going the way that, you know, it should be. And we just got to keep fighting. Just got to keep going. Just got to keep pushing that message and let our voices be heard at the end of the day because, you know, it's getting to a point where it's starting to become a cycle. And, you know, and a lot of people are fed up about it because, you know, it shouldn't be this way. You know, we should all have equal rights. We should all be able to, you know, sit next to each other and understand each other and try to love each other. But, you know, like I said, you know, once you got one person that's doing something on social media that's wrong, and, you know, you're rubbing off that energy. Another thing with that, you know, you got to bring great energy to this world, to this life. I mean, we've been, you know, stuck in the house for the past 2.5 months. I mean, obviously, everybody's going crazy. You know, now we're slowly starting to, you know, get things going with we can go outside. We can, you know, enjoy our scenery. We can start going to the beach. We can start, you know, going to the movies and the mall and et cetera. You know, you got to bring that great energy. You got to be able to provide that great energy because, you know, the energy of the world, it returns back. So if you go out and you be negative, it's going to come back. So, you know, when you have all this craziness that's going on right now, you know, you see it, you know, someone say something negative or say something that they feel like that's not right, then, you know, you're obviously going to try to protect that, you know, protect your word, protect your voice. And, you know, it's crazy right now. Another thing I want to say is smile more, you know, smile, being able to smile. I mean, at this moment, it's hard to smile. I can't lie. I can't sit here and say that, you know, it's not. It's hard to smile at this moment. It's a very painful situation. And it's scary. It's scary to be in this position right now. But, you know, we have to smile more. We have to try to find some type of positivity, you know, out of all the negative situations that we've been going through, you know, since this year started. we got to keep going. We got to keep going. We got to keep fighting for justice. We got to keep fighting for everything, you know, not just, you know, not just that, but, you know, just for everything. Everything has to be a change. Everything has to change right now, because, you know, the direction that we're going as a country and as a world, it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all. And just try to learn other cultures and other backgrounds as well. I feel like that would be great as well. That would be big, just because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know, you know, my type of culture. Although, you know, there are also, you know, people that know my culture and that's part of my culture, but they're not my race, if that makes sense. But, you know, at the same time, you know, this is the part of time where, you know, we need those type of people regardless. You know, we need those type of people to speak up with us, you know, to fight with us, you know. And this is a race thing, but at the same time, this is about justice. It's about equal. You know, we want all equal rights. We want all justice to be equal. We want everything to be, you know, we want to be treated the same way as everyone else. And, you know, when we have that extra support around us, you know, that gives us that much hope. And that's why, you know, these protesters, you know, have been sort of successful. But, you know, obviously, you know, you have, you know, the bad apples where, you know, they just want to go and go crazy. And you know, that's the scary part, because, you know, we're not getting the rights. You know, we're not getting justice. We're not getting the things that we need, that we deserve. I mean, it's been too long that we've been dealing with these type of things. So, I mean, as long as we keep going, keep fighting, but we got to do it with, you know, with our minds, you know, and our mouths, and not because we're hurt, you know, but we got to strategize and be able to put ourselves in best position to, you know, to prevent, you know, future cases and future brutalities and stuff like that. So,
well, I think your advice here is good, and one thing that we can do is we can not just talk, but we can also listen. I hope that this episode is, you know, by sharing your story and some of your experiences, and now we understand you a little bit better. And the more we can do of that, of listening to others, and you know, maybe we're not in their culture and maybe we don't live in their neighborhood, but we can listen and we can learn. And then we can be more unified as a country, and globally. This isn't just a United States thing. This right. is an issue in a lot of places. So I really appreciate you coming on today, sharing your story, but also this great advice on how we can come together as a people. It was really great. I'll go ahead, and what we'll do is we'll link up to your documentary in the description for this video. And Ronnie, we really appreciate you being here today.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks, you are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.